Golden spread to appeal rejection of capacity assessment change to board, written by Tom Kleckner, and read by an automated voice. Little ROCK or Ken Saw Golden Spread Electric Cooperative says it will request that SPP's Board of Directors overturn a stakeholder group's rejection of a proposed tariff change that would preemptively determine the amount of load the existing transmission system can handle without requiring additional network upgrades. Golden Spread's Mike Wise brought the appeal of the tariff revision request to the Markets and Operations Policy Committee during its October 14-15 meeting after it gained only 18% approval at the Transmission Working Group in September. His motion to enable transmission customers and host transmission owners to access load hosting capacity assessment results failed with only 29.51% approval. SPP's TO members united to vote against the change, 18-0, after citing concerns at TWG over reliability issues with sharing load hosting capacity and creating operational risks. A dejected Wise told RTO Insider after that he again will appeal RR-642 during the board's November 4th meeting. Also will provide a second or alternative motion for the director's consideration. The TWG got it wrong, and we want to try to rectify that, Wise told MOPC. The bottom line is that we support the SPP staff's position on this RR. Staff drafted the proposed change to Tariff Attachment Act screening process following a recommendation from the Holistic Integrated Tariff Teams, or HIT 2019 report. It would allow SPP to proactively perform analysis to determine load capacity at each node on the system without incremental investment. Information gathered from the load hosting capacity assessment would determine whether transmission customers would be required to go through an ACT delivery point network study. Wise, who sat on the HIT, sponsored the recommendation during the team's work. He referred to the proposal as one of those ancient HIT items that has lingered out there. This gives transmission customers the same access to the tool and the information as the TOs themselves, Wise said. It's not being crammed down on them. They own the trump card. Basically, if they say we need to study this, then it's going to be studied, right? I really don't see why the TOs would be against this because they are not going to have to be forced to do something that doesn't work or affects their reliability. We are supportive of this tool being used for information purposes, and we just do not feel it's ready for the decision-making process for ACT studies, said Jared Cooley, with Xcel Energy subsidiary Southwestern Public Service. This is just a tool with information. The question is, who should see it and what's the accuracy? SPP's Natasha Henderson said. Just like any other tool with information, it's predicated on what we put in that tool. On the generator interconnection side, we have a tool that shows where Therese Rumla system. Well, that's true until you study 90 gigawatts of generation in the 2024 Integrated Transmission Plan Assessment. SPP close to resettling Z2 bills. SPP's five-year plan to resolve its attachment Z2 headache, the most litigated drawn-out process we've ever had, according to General Counsel Paul Suski, will begin in earnest in November. As part of FERC's directive to submit a compliance filing on its Z2 plan, staff will provide updated balances to entities affected by a 2019 remand order for the refund period. They will send information to entities wishing to enroll in a payment plan and post ongoing updates on the SPP website. The Commission in September ordered the compliance filing for the grid operator's proposal to unwind credit payment obligations assessed under Z2 for transmission service taken from 2008 to 2016. The Commission determined that SPP lacked specifics in its proposed plan. Under Attachment Z2, SPP compensates upgrade sponsors, who pay for upgrades that subsequently are used by transmission customers. FERC issued a remand order that called for the refund of Z2 amounts settled and invoiced for operating periods in 2008 to 2015. Full refund invoices for the 2008 to 2015 period will go out within the first 2 months after FERC's final order. A resettlement invoice will follow in about 2 years for the operating dates from September 2015 to January 2020. It will take several years after that to run additional resettlements in the current settlement system until SPP catches up. Staff told FERC in September 2024 that at least $657.8 million is directly affected by the Commission's refund directive and that it grows by $3 million to $4 million each month. Every month that we can't make our repayment is more interest that our members are paying and we have no return on, Western Farmers Electric Cooperative's Matt Cave said. SPP has assembled more than a dozen executives and staffers to handle the process. As Suski said, alluding to the Blues Brothers in their eponymous 1980 flick, we're getting the band back together. It took us 8 years to put Z2 together. Now we've got to unwind it and put it back together, he added. Staff are planning a formal kickoff for the effort in January 2026. They expect the effort to take about 4 years. West gets stakeholder group seats. MOPC endorsed expanding 6 working groups to add members from the RTO's expansion into the Western Interconnection. The vote slipped past MOPC's two-thirds threshold for approval at 67.24%. If the measure is approved by the Corporate Governance Committee, or CGC, and then the board in November, the Market, Economic Studies, Operating Reliability and Supply Adequacy working groups would get 4 more seats, and the Members Committee, Strategic Planning Committee, and Resource and Energy Adequacy Leadership, or REL team, will pick up 2 seats each. The Regional Tariff and Transmission working groups will add TOs and transmission users according to their charters. The RTO expansion will add 7 Western entities, including several that already are members in SPP's Eastern Interconnection footprint. Members with load in the East will not be counted toward the new seats, staff said. An earlier attempt to amend the motion from the floor and limit Western representatives to 2 seats apiece in the working groups failed, garnering just under 50% approval. Several members pushed back against taking up the issue, saying it belongs in the CGC. Vacancies on working groups don't come up terribly often, so to get entities on board and through this process is a starting point, said Brad Hans, with the Municipal Energy Agency of Nebraska. The agency will be active in both interconnections. It's a good integration thing, he said. There are a lot of differences in the West with us working on both sides, where you need that expertise in the West to bring to the conversations when there are things that may affect both sides. SPP's Stephen Johnson, Senior Director of Markets Administration, said the RTO expansion project remains on schedule, having moved from red to yellow status at the end of September. Bid-to-bill member testing, a key milestone, began September 2nd and is ongoing, he said. MMU, topology optimization concerns. Stakeholders endorsed the Market Working Group's expansion of the economic topology optimization process that enables market participants to submit requests for SPP to screen and evaluate and, if they pass both economic and reliability criteria, coordinate with transmission operators for implementation. The change sets submission limits to 1 per participant/month, 6 studies per month, and up to 3 active implementations. The Market Monitoring Unit said it supports the concept but had serious concerns with allowing the requests to come from market participants. Kerry Bivens, the MMU's vice president, said MISO tried a similar process but it reported very low success rates with being able to accept the proposals. Not only could it result in suboptimal results, but it's also a clear fairness issue, she said. We believe the RTO should be doing this optimization rather than taking it through stakeholders and through market participant requests. Just from a practical standpoint, it could be a real waste and inefficient use of SPP's time. The measure passed with 90.8% approval. The committee also endorsed 2 recommended tariff changes from working groups. RR-719, from the Cost Allocation Working Group, which would base plan fund network upgrades for Network Resource Interconnection Service, or NRIS. The proposed change aligns cost allocation for deliverability by allowing the delivery portion of NRIS before the transition to the consolidated planning process to also be eligible for base plan funding. MOPC gave it 88.2% approval. RR-697, from the Megawattsk, codifying a policy approved by the Regional State Committee to give market participants more opportunities to receive long-term congestion rights. Eligible participants will be able to nominate up to 50% of each path, with all current awarded LTCR paths over 50% grandfathered. The awarded LTCRs can be held for 5 years. RR-697 passed with 72.6% approval. Ross exits as Megawattsk chair. MOPC members honored American Electric Power's Richard Ross with a round of applause as he delivered the Megawattsk's final proposed tariff changes under his chairmanship. Ross has served as chair of the Megawattsk, one of the more influential stakeholder groups, since 2004. That was the year FERC designated SPP as an RTO. Recent governance changes have placed term limits on working groups' leadership positions. I've been involved in SPP things for issues from 12 to 15 years, and you have been a long-standing chair of the Market Working Group. A lot has passed under your purview, Omaha Public Power District's Joe Lang said. SPP's Carrie Simpson, who once served as the Megawattsk's staff secretary, said she has used Ross' chairmanship as an example to follow in designing the stakeholder structure of Markets Plus in the Western Interconnection. I know you've seen a lot of staff come through and a lot of members, she told Ross. As we were setting up working groups in the West, we would say, watch Richard Ross. The Megawattsk chair is a great standard for how to run a meeting. But you've had 20 years of practice, Simpson cracked. I did have that, Ross admitted. Ross will remain a member of the Megawattsk. 20 tariff changes approved. MOPC's consent agenda, unanimously approved, included. The project cost working group's recommendation to accept all 10 transmission projects with in-service delays exceeding the first reported in-service date by more than 90 calendar days be accepted as reasonable. The PCWG's endorsement of a 31% increase in Nebraska Public Power District's 345-kilovolt Gentleman Cherry County Holt County project, from $510.71 million to $669.97 million. The 2026 ITP CPP transmission assessments revised scope to add the expedited resource adequacy study stability needs. The TWG's endorsement of OPPD's sponsored upgrade study for Sarpy County uprates, and the annual violation relaxation limit analysis report. The agenda also had 20 proposed tariff changes that, if approved by the board, would RR 655, establish outage submission requirements in SPP's governing documents, including definitions, data standards, timelines and rules for submission, extension and updates. The change would require market participants to provide accurate, timely outage and capability information, with the transmission provider reviewing and potentially denying non-compliant submissions. RR 670, clarify that a mitigated offer is defined as a quality along with its allowable subcomponents and must be interpreted as such when calculated and submitted by market participants. RR 682, add transparency to the competitive transmission process TO selection process by requiring the industry expert panel to respond to questions from the board or submitted by stakeholders. RR 686, clarify the difference between ramped and step set points with consolidated examples, removing outdated quick start terminology for improved clarity and consistency. RR 690, define the tariff required harm test to reallocate at-risk financial security funds during the generation interconnection study process to mitigate harm done by terminating generator interconnection agreements. RR 695, establish thresholds for mitigating offers below $25 per megawatt hours, aligning them with correct mitigation practices. RR 700, raise the notification to construct, or NTC with conditions and the applicable project threshold limit from $20 million to $150 million. RR 705, update the generator interconnection manual with the joint targeted interconnection queues tariff language. RR 706, clarify that a federal service exemption transfer point is a qualifying source for candidate LTCR/auction revenue rights by adding the transfer point to the list of qualifying sources for candidate LTCR/ARRs. RR 707, revise the conventional resource performance-based accreditation business practice without changing FERC's foundational policy. RR 708, ensure the detailed project proposal window for transmission planning is not unnecessarily extended if additional needs are identified after the needs assessments posting. RR 709, ensure the annual index of grandfathered agreements is accurate. RR 710, automatically suspend attachment ACK upgrade projects with NTCs if a large load is not submitted within 180 days of board approval. SPP would then conduct an out-of-cycle reevaluation and bring it to the board for its consideration. RR 711, formalize the outage coordination methodology as a business practice and incorporate it into the revision request routing criteria, requiring applicable working group approval for future changes. RR 712, increase the financial commitment window for SPP's NTC issuances from 4 years to 5 years. RR 713, add language to the tariff including Stegall DC tie equipment in the incremental market efficiency use, or IMU framework, ensuring transparency, stakeholder review and clarification that replacement costs are not tied to IMU. RR 715, outline the study requirements used in the quarterly analysis to determine the maximum amount of capacity available for generators under the limed operation condition until network upgrades come online. RR 716, clean up items related to the RTO expansion's DC ties, including calculations using their capability for cost allocation and DC tie inputs in market cases and the reliability unit commitment process. RR 717, clarify tariff and protocol language applying the tank test today ahead and RUC make whole payments, explicitly excluding its use for multi-day reliability assessments and local reliability events. RR 721, update SPP's business practices to account for changes required by the RTO's expansion in the West.